Pray together. Father, we do come to you on this first day of the week, thanking you for all that you have done for us. Especially, Lord, our time together during this conference, what a blessing and encouragement it has been. But Lord, at the same time, it's also been a conviction. It's been a time of growing. And Lord, we have been so blessed during this conference. We thank you for these dear folks here and for the friendships that we have made. But Lord, as we come now to this service, we pray that the Spirit of God may quiet our hearts. And Lord, that we may be willing to hear what is given to us in your word this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you would feed us. I pray that you would bless our time together. I pray that you would encourage us again. But yet again, Lord, I ask that you would convict us and spur us on, stir us up. Father, cause us to be the best servant that we can be for our Savior before you come. And we know that you're coming soon, yet, Lord, there's much to do. Use us, Lord, I pray. Bless this time together this morning in this service. May all that's done be to your honor and to your glory alone, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take your hymn books. Now, I know in your bulletin it says 542. That is an alternate tune to that song, I Love to Tell the Story. So turn your hymn books to 538. That's the one that you're probably more familiar with. 538, I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story.
I love to tell the story, for it's all
greatest lessons the Lord has taught me, as I've known him, is always be flexible. Whatever he brings my way, brings our way, it's like, okay, Lord, this is the next thing you want me to do. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us in our human thinking, but God's in control. He sees more than we do. So take your hymn book, stand with me. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. 512. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. 512.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, my love, Lord of the land. Redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child and forever.
Thank you.
I'm going to sing one last hymn, 550. You can remain seated. But just as you're seated, just follow along the words. Think about it. Let it minister to your hearts. 550, channels only. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me. Why? That I thy channel be. 550, channels only. We're going to sing the first and the last.
Divine. We're again thrilled to have Don Kilmer. Grew up on a farm in Mannheim, PA. I went to Bob Jones University. Him and his wife have now been in South Africa 30 years. I believe he told me the first time he came to IBC was around 1991. So some of you may have been here, others may not have been, but we're thankful for him and his wife's faithful service. So Don, you come open the Word of God this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. It is wonderful to be with you. And it was a bit of an unexpected trip. As my sister passed away, we felt the Lord wanted us to come back for the memorial service. We're just here for 1 month and got in the end of August. And tomorrow we fly out back to South Africa. And it's good for us. We, you know, we love America. We love to be here. We love the folks. But our heart's in South Africa, you know. Our spiritual heart is there. So we'll be glad to get back. We're thankful for those who are filling in. And it's a little bit of a stretching time for them, but people need that. You know, we're going to serve the Lord and you train others. They need that bit of a stretching time, so we're thankful for that. Just want to mention a couple of things here. We do have, and I think all the missionaries do, out on our tables out here, we have cards. We call them prayer cards. We want you to take them. That's what they're there for, if you'd like to remember us in prayer. And ours is in kind of a bookmark form. Some people like to keep it in their Bible and remember to pray. We do encourage people to pray for us at 11:11. If you remember 11:11, remember the Kilmers, okay? And, you know, people say, why 11:11? It sticks in your mind, that's all. There's nothing particular about it other than when you see 11:11. It's the only time on the clock that all four numbers are the same. So it doesn't matter if it's a.m., p.m., and I do encourage you to pray for us at your regular prayer times as well. I know a lot of people have sort of a rotation of missionaries, you know, and they get around to them every so often. That's a great idea. Sometimes God puts on a person's heart to pray for a certain missionary every day. And if you would choose to do that for us, we'd be very thankful. But we do encourage people, 11:11, pray for Don and Karen Kilmer in South Africa. So we appreciate so much the church here, the ministry, the fellowship we've had with you over the years. Your help to us, your church and other churches like you are helping us. We could not be there without that help. So thank you for your part in our ministry. I hope you realize we're partners together. And what we see happen there, what we see the Lord do, part of that reward is yours. If you're here, if you're giving to this church, as this church helps us, you're getting part of that reward because we couldn't be there without your help. So it's a wonderful thing to help in the work of the Lord and work together with him. I'd like to read this morning Luke. I want to talk about following God's goal for your life. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to begin by reading verses 1 to 5. This is about the story of Zacchaeus. And something you remember from years ago, maybe when you were a child, singing Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. Okay. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Well, we're going to learn some principles about missions and God's goal for your life in this passage. I'm going to ask you to stand, please, while I read. If you're able to stand, please stand. And I'm going to read Luke 19, verses 1 to 5. Please remain standing for a brief word of prayer, and then you may be seated. Luke 19, beginning in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are blessed to be here today. We're blessed to gather with other believers. We're blessed to have your word. We're blessed to be saved. Today, Lord, we pray that you will encourage our hearts. I prepared some things, but I pray the Holy Spirit will lead me as I speak. I pray that you will touch the hearts of folks. Some need strengthened, some encouraged, maybe somebody rebuked. But Lord, we pray you would draw us near to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Many people just live without ever stopping to analyze their lives. Take life as it comes. They never stop and ask, what is my goal in life? Don't say it out loud, but I want you to answer honestly in your heart, what is your goal in life? Did you ever really think about it? Let me say this again. Some people just live without stopping to think about their aim, their goal, or their aim in life. Some people have a goal, but they never really stop to analyze it. They just live and don't realize they have a goal. Sometimes it's a good one, sometimes a bad one. A big goal for many people is money. Now, we know we have to have money. I mean, it's how our society operates. It's how we live. We have to have money. And so for a lot of people, without maybe even thinking about it, the Bible has a lot to say about covetousness, and we know as Christians we're not to be covetous. And so we say, well, I don't live for money, but a lot of people, it's more or less a goal for many people. You know, did you ever ask yourself, some of you are have a job, maybe some of you retire, but if you're retired, well, when you had a job, why did you have a job? If you're working, why are you working? Well, you say to earn money, to provide for my family, to provide for future retirement. Those are all good goals. They're biblical. But none of those are the main goal. And sometimes we get so caught up in life, we never stop and ask ourselves, what really is my goal or aim in life? Yes, you need money from a job, but that's a secondary reason. Did you ever stop and think about, why do I have the job I have? Why do I have the job where I have it? Why do I live where I live? I live in a certain place and I have neighbors and there's people around me. I go to the store. Why do I live here? Some of you are in school. Why am I in this school? Interesting, isn't it? God has a reason for putting you where he has put you. So God has a hand in all of these things. Now, unless you took a sinful job that's outside the will of God, God had a hand in giving you the job you have or putting you where you live or the school you go to. God had a hand in all that, and he has a goal in all of that. Now, we learned some important principles about the aim of life or the goal of life from the story of Zacchaeus here in Luke 19. And I want you to think about this. What is the goal of your life? Principle number one, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that everyone needs Jesus. Let me repeat that. If you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that everyone needs Jesus. Let me read Luke 19, verses 1 to 3. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Our first principle is that everyone needs Jesus, the poor and the rich, the educated and the uneducated, the adults and the children. Everyone needs Jesus. Jesus often preached to the poor. We're told in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 5, the blind, this is when John the Baptist sent his disciples. John knew Jesus was the Messiah. He had baptized him at the beginning of his ministry. But now John is sitting in jail and he was having a little bit of a doubt. Was this really the Messiah? So he sent his disciples to make sure. And they came and Jesus said, well, spend the day with me and just watch and observe. And so Jesus says to them, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Interesting, isn't it? The poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus dealt mainly with poor people. However, he didn't neglect the rich. Because everyone needs him. There are people around us in all different kinds of stations in life. All kinds of situations and positions in life. They all need Jesus. My encouragement to you is look for opportunities everywhere. Look for opportunities to speak about Jesus. You know, if you love Jesus, people are going to notice it. Did you ever meet someone who just loves Jesus? There's one guy there in Fredville. We minister in an area in South Africa, in the Durban area. And there's an area called Fredville. And there's this one guy there. He had been a professional boxer and had, through his boxing, come into contact with Muslims and became a Muslim. But it didn't satisfy him. And his wife died. He had two children. His wife died. And he was just discouraged and depressed. And one day he decided, I'm going to kill myself. So he got a gun, he put his kids in the station wagon, drove into town, and he was just going to leave his kids in the car. and he had his gun going off to kill himself, and he met a lady. A lady looks at him and says, are you okay? You don't look well. You don't look like you're happy. You look like... He says, I'm planning to kill myself. No, no, no. She says, don't do that. You need to hear about Jesus. She tells him about Jesus. And he got saved. And I spent some time discipling this guy. I mean, this guy just can't stop talking about Jesus. You know? I mean, he's been saved for probably 15 or 20 years. But he just can't stop talking about Jesus. Everybody knows him. He loves Jesus, okay? And he's not obnoxious. He's not mean or unkind. He just loves Jesus. I hope people that know that you love Jesus. Amen. We get a lot of opportunities in South Africa. We get into the schools, the government schools let us come in. Public schools let us come in and preach the gospel. Wonderful opportunity. I get to some schools. The smallest one has about 50 students. The largest one has 1,200 students. All kinds of schools, but we get to preach the gospel. Wonderful opportunity. We go on the street, we go door to door, we use a megaphone and we preach. It's very well accepted there. I don't know how it works here in this town. You might get arrested if you did that here, okay? Some places in the States you can and some you can't, but we get to preach with a megaphone. Hospitals and clinics, our government hospitals are, we have two kind of healthcare systems. We have private hospitals and then we have the government hospitals. And thousands of people are sitting around waiting. Now, on a rare occasion, I need to take someone, something's wrong with them, they can't figure out what it is. Often it's a case where the doctor only speaks English and they speak Zulu, and they don't know enough English, and the doctor, and in Zulu culture, you don't question an authority when they tell you something. You don't say, well, I didn't understand, please, could you please explain further? Because what they'll do is the doctor will tell them what's wrong with them, and he says, do you understand? And they say, yes. They're not trying to lie, they're just being respectful. They think it's respectful in their culture. They should say, well, I didn't quite get it. Could you call one of the Zulu nurses to come explain it to me? They don't do that, they just say yes. Sometimes they're supposed to make a follow-up appointment. You go to the office, make a follow-up appointment. Yes. I took a lady one day, and she thought she was dying of cancer. And so we find out, we got there at 6:30 in the morning, finally at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we get to see the doctor. And he spent about 5 or 6 minutes with us to find out she just needed to update her diabetes medication. And then there were 5 appointments she had not made with other people in the hospital. Okay, so we quick run around and try to make all these appointments, and she hadn't gone to the pharmacy, gotten her medicine. Why? Because she didn't understand what he was saying. Okay, so what happens is, if you get to the hospital, there are hundreds of people just waiting in these lines to see the nurse or the doctor or whatever. And what better thing to do than hand out a gospel tract, talk to them, tell them about the Lord, you know? And so if I go, I take a bunch of gospel tracts and I talk to some people. Now they're fascinated when a white man speaks in Zulu. It doesn't happen very often. Normally if they do, it's someone who grew up on a farm, grew up around the Zulu workers and so on. But most of them have never heard a white man give the gospel in Zulu. And even unbelievers, it fascinates them. So, you know, if there are all these people are sitting here in this line waiting, and I go and I hand out about 5 gospel tracts, there's about 10 people can hear me, 5 this way, 5 that way. And, you know, the Lord will prompt me to, you know, someone just seems kind of open, and I stop and I explain the gospel to them. Well, about 10 people can hear me. So now I hand out 10 more, because these 5 already heard. I go down here, 5 more people, and they stop and I talk to them about the gospel. And it's just fascinating. Opportunities. Now, God has opportunities for you. Your opportunities will be different than my opportunities. Very few of you will probably ever get to preach to a high school of 1,000 students. And some of you would say, oh, Lord, what would I do? Well, if God hasn't called you to do that, don't worry. He hasn't called you to do what I'm doing, but he has called you to see other people. To see that everyone needs Jesus. Principle number 2. If you're going to follow God's goal, let me just say this before I move on. We have a lot of other cultures in this country. And sometimes I get a little worried about all these different people coming in and illegal immigrants and all. But you know, they need Jesus. I'm not going to try to justify illegal immigration, but maybe they need Jesus. I shouldn't say maybe. They do need Jesus, okay? But the point is, sometimes we feel uncomfortable when other cultures push in, whether they're here legally or illegally or whatever. Even they're here legally, a lot of times we're like, I don't know, I don't like that. Maybe God that put that person in your path because they need Jesus. So I'm not justifying anything wrong or illegal. I'm just saying everyone needs Jesus. Principle number two, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see other people. You need to see other people. Look at verses 4 and 5. Luke 19, verses 4 and 5. And he ran before, that's Zacchaeus. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he, that is Jesus, was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You see, sometimes we get so busy and so concerned with our lives, we fail to see the needs of others. There are needy people out there, especially spiritually and emotionally. People are troubled, and we need to see the needs of others. Jesus said in John 4, verse 35, say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, they were looking at the physical fields. It wasn't harvest time yet. In 4 months' time, the harvest was coming. But Jesus said, I want to make a spiritual application here. Don't say, well, one day I'll get to talk to them about Jesus. One day I'll try to reach out to somebody else. See them now. See their needs now. Ask the Lord to help you to find a way to speak to that person. Interesting thing here. We always want to get them to Jesus. It's not always the best way to just walk up and say, you know, you're a sinner on your way to hell and you need Jesus as your Savior. And they say, I don't even believe the Bible. You might need to start with the Bible's the Word of God. Especially if you have people from other religious backgrounds that you meet. Okay, you know, you want to begin to share, but you have to ask God for wisdom. Where do I start? Remember how Jesus started with the woman at the well? He started with water. He started with something in the situation right there. So look for things in people's lives. See their needs. See where they're at. See a circumstance God brings along. And then you can share what Jesus has done for you. You know, one of the best ways to witness is tell them what Jesus has done for you. You need to help them to see they're a sinner. But the point isn't to try to condemn them. The point is to help them see there is forgiveness. There is righteousness. I want you to understand something here. We're not getting to heaven because we're good enough. See, every religion in the world is based on righteousness, but they think it's their righteousness. Even most of what we call Christianity is based on man's righteousness. These churches, all they say you need faith, but you need works. And so it's faith plus works. And where's the emphasis? On their works. And they think they're getting to heaven because they're good enough. Let me tell you, good people don't go to heaven. And this is what the majority of people out there think. They think bad people go to hell, good people go to heaven. Nothing could be further from the truth. Heaven is perfect. Only perfect people go to heaven. And we aren't perfect. So how do we get to heaven? We get to heaven through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, when you accept him as your Savior, he does two things. He takes your sin and he gives you his righteousness. Do you know there are a lot of people out there who aren't saved because they want forgiveness, but they don't want God's righteousness. They don't want a new life. They don't want him to change their lives. They're kind of happy where they're at. They just want forgiveness. And they aren't saved because they don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's a great place to start with people. Because no matter what their belief system is, if they think there's, and they don't, not everybody calls it heaven, there's all kinds of different terms, nirvana, and all this kind of different things, but to get to this perfect place, you need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So it's perhaps a good way as you talk about it. One day we were, there's harvest sometimes at places. Sometimes we work and work and work and work and we don't see much happen. And, you know, as a missionary, it becomes burdensome if you minister a while and you don't see much happening. But one day we went off to a funeral. A lady in our church, her relative died. And so we drove 4 hours to where she was originally from, way out in a rural area. And we get there, and this church called the 12 Apostles was in charge. Now, they believe salvation is through their church by the laying on hands of what they call an apostle. They believe there's a succession from the 12 Apostles. And so we get there, and this lady who died had attended their church, and so they were in charge. And we get there, oh, you guys came all the way from Durban. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll let you preach. We're going to tell you what to preach. So you're going to preach. This is not uncommon there. You show up and whoever's in charge will tell you what you're going to preach. The passage. They give you the passage. Okay. And some of my guys get real worried. And I say, guys, don't worry. Just, just have to have a little bit of thinking. Just put that in your introduction and then preach where you're going to preach anyway. You know, just find a link to tie it from that to what you're going to preach, you know. You just have to think on your feet a little bit. Anyway, they said, you're going to preach from John 14, 1 to 6. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, man. I mean, Jesus saith unto him, you get down to verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I mean, a church who preaches a false gospel gave us this passage. So we're like, wow, you know, I don't even need to put that in my introduction. That's my sermon, you know. So I was with the Zulu man I was training, and I said to him, listen, this was in my early years there, and I couldn't quite, I knew there's all kinds of things going on. I said, listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to preach a mini sermon, but I want you to preach the main sermon. Man, he gets up and he preaches hellfire and brimstone and Jesus is the only way. Your church can't save you. Your good works can't save you. And he gives an invitation and eight of their people from their church, you can tell by the way they're dressed, they have these uniforms they wear, okay? Eight of their people raise up, I want to be saved. Okay? Then we're about to go off to the grave and the husband of the lady gets up and says, wait, before we go, I want to say something. He says, today's supposed to be a sad day. I'm supposed to be discouraged and depressed. My wife has died. But he said, I want you to know this is the best day of my life. He said, sitting right there, I repented in my heart, and I received Jesus as my Savior. He said, I'm telling you, I'm happy today. I'm full of joy. He said, because I found Jesus. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? So we need to see people. We need to see their needs. Principle number three, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that there are some who are ready to hear the truth. You need to see that there are some who are ready to hear the truth. Look at Luke 19 and verse 6. And he made haste, that is Zacchaeus. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. There are some people who are willing to hear about Jesus. Now, a publican was considered a thief. Immoral person. I'm immoral in the sense of, you know, they were corrupt. Why was Zacchaeus rich? Well, publicans were rich because they took advantage of people. They were the ones who gave out taxes to people. And yet he received Jesus joyfully. Do you ever find some of those people, you just look at him, you say, I'm afraid to talk to this guy. This person just looks so mean. I was at a grocery store one day, and there was a lady there at you call him a cashier here, right? We say at the till in South Africa. But cashier was there, and she just looked mean and angry, and you know, and the Lord just put in my heart, give her a gospel tract. I usually carry gospel tracts with me. So I said, ma'am, I just have something from the Bible for you to read. Her face lit up. She says, oh, thank you. I've been having a rough day. I really needed this. And sometimes with those people, you're a bit afraid. Let's admit it. I get afraid sometimes. I get nervous about talking to people. So you're a missionary. You're not supposed to get afraid. You know, courage is not lack of fear. Courage is doing what's right in spite of fear. You see? And sometimes I get afraid. But, wow. I didn't have time to go too far because there was another person behind me. But you know, you never know. There are those who are willing to hear. I was out visiting with the pastor of our first Zulu church that I started. We're out visiting one afternoon, and we're in a valley of 1,000 hills. Everything's uphill and downhill. So we're in a hillside, and we're going house to house and visiting. There's some guys sitting over on the other hillside under a tree. And we saw them there, and as we're going house to house, we get down to the bottom, we start up the hill. They're just sitting there all afternoon. They're sitting there. And eventually we made it up to them, and they said to us, we've been watching you all afternoon. And we were wondering, what are you telling people? We want to know what you were saying to people. So we got to witness to them. Okay. Some people are willing to hear. Principle number four, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that some people will oppose you. Some people will oppose you. Look at Luke 19 and verse 7. And when they saw it, this is the crowd now, they saw what? That Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be with a guest, to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Sometimes people oppose you. One Zulu high school that I preach at has a little over 1,000 students. And, you know, when there's 1,000 students, you just don't remember anybody. But one day I was at a funeral, and the MC, they have quite long funeral programs, a lot of speeches, and so they have an MC who guides the program, and the MC gets up and says, folks, I'm sure Pastor Don doesn't remember me, but I attended the local Zulu high school here, and he said he would come and preach to us. And he said, I would go back to class and I would mock him. I would make fun of him, and all the students would be laughing. Sometimes the teacher would come in and laugh, and I was making fun of his preaching and the message. But he said, even while I was mocking him, God was convicting me. Then he said, I left this area and went somewhere else. And God brought someone else along my path and gave me the gospel. And then God brought someone else along my path and gave me the gospel. And I got saved, and today I'm a preacher in my church. And I want to thank Pastor Don, because he's the one that began God's work in my heart. Now, I didn't reap the fruit directly. I planted, and someone else watered, and someone else watered. And the Lord gave the increase. And here's what you need to understand. Sometimes people say, you know, I've witnessed for so many years, and I never led anybody to the Lord. Never had someone actually pray with me to receive Christ. But you're going to be rewarded. We're told in 1 Corinthians 3, every man is rewarded according to his own labor. If you had a part in someone's life, and sometimes you planted and watered and planted and watered, and you never knew what God did in that harder life of that person, and you just might be surprised. If you are trying to reach others for the Lord, you may be very surprised one day you get to heaven to find out, you know, I had a part in this person being here, and this person being here, and this person being here. So keep at it. Keep at it. Because you're part of people coming to know the Lord. Principle number 5, if you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that some people will repent. You need to see that some people will repent. Look at Luke 19, verses 8 and 9. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give unto the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, his works showed his faith. He wasn't saved by his works. Jesus isn't trying to say here that he was saved because he gave away half of his goods. That was simply a reflection of the belief he had in his heart. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Do you work for a gift? If you work for something, it's a payment. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What do you do to get a gift? You receive it. If you receive Jesus as your Savior with a full heart of belief in Him, and you put your trust and confidence in Him, He saves you. It's a gift. But verse 10 goes on to say, this is Ephesians 2:10, For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, the works are there, but not in order to save us. The works are there because we're saved. We're in Christ, and then we're his workmanship, and we're working out what he put in us. Now, you remember I just said a little bit ago, what gets us to heaven? Well, forgiveness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know what the Christian life is? Living out the righteousness he put in us. And God, this is the most amazing thing. With all our faults and errors, if you know Jesus as your Savior, God sees you as righteous through the blood of Jesus. And sometimes, I'll be honest, I look at myself and I say, how in the world can God see me as righteous? Okay, I'm not out robbing banks and all that kind of stuff, but you know, sometimes I'm just, my thoughts wander, my desires wander. And maybe no one else can see what I'm struggling or battling with, but how can God see me as righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ? Now, he deals with me as a child. When I wander, he chastens me. He brings up trouble. And sometimes he makes it clear. Sometimes you have a problem, you just wonder why. Now, there are many reasons for suffering, but sometimes it's because of sin. Now, if you're suffering, you're wondering why. What I found helps me is I come to the Lord and I say, Lord, are you trying to get my attention about something? Is there something that's wrong in my life? Is there something I need to make right with you? Please show me. And if you're sincere, he will show you. He will bring to your mind the exact thing he's dealing with. But you have to be willing to come to him and say, God, show me. And sometimes he doesn't show you anything. You say, okay, thank you, Lord. There's another reason you have for this. And we don't always see this side of eternity. It's one of the hardest things in life for a lot of people when we struggle and we suffer, but we are not quite sure why. Keep pressing on, keep honoring him. Perhaps you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's hard when we don't have a human understanding about things, but don't lean on your understanding, lean on him. and he'll help you. And one day you're going to find somehow he used those difficulties and troubles and trials for his honor and his glory. One of the great lessons that has been emphasized to me in South Africa, there's quite a bit of crime there. We've had house break-ins, and I've been hijacked, a cockaloo, a gun, held to my head, and that kind of thing. But out of every situation, God brings an opportunity. And sometimes we're so focused on the trouble and the problem and the difficulty, we miss the opportunity. We have a house break-in, and we contact the police. The police come to make a report. Guess what? I've got two captive policemen as an audience, okay, who get to hear the gospel, you see? And there might be other reasons God has. Sometimes he has more than just one reason and something happening. But I've learned, none of us like difficulties or troubles or trials, but God has a purpose. Look for that opportunity. Final principle, principle number 6. If you're going to follow God's goal for your life, you need to see that God's goal for your life is to seek the lost. God's goal for your life is to seek the lost. Look at verse 10, Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, Jesus is our great example. You need to follow the example of Jesus. Now, none of us save anybody. Jesus is the one who saves, but we need to seek the lost. We need to be looking for opportunities to reach the lost. Why have my wife and I gone to the country of South Africa? To seek the lost and then to train them so they can also seek the lost, you see? And so that's why we're there. That is God's goal for your life as well. The man who's filling in for me currently, who's preaching, I met him a few years ago. I was out visiting, going door to door, talking to people on the street, and met this guy. He was a Rastafarian. I don't know if any of you know about that, but we have him in Africa. He started in Jamaica. But anyway, I got talking to him, and he was searching. He was searching. And as I talked to him about the gospel, I thought he was really interested. But he was on the job at the time, and so he said, I don't have a lot of time, Pastor, but I'd like to talk to you some more. I got his phone number. The next week, I tried to phone him, and says, number discontinued. Happens a lot there. Phones get lost and stolen and whatever, and so they just get a new number. So I prayed. I said, Lord, he was so interested. Please make a way for me. I went around and visited the area, but he wasn't on that job anymore, and I couldn't find out. I couldn't get in contact with him. I said, Lord, somehow make it possible for me to see him. So we were having a Friday night Bible study, and a high school guy showed up at our Bible study. He had a friend in the area and came in to the Bible study. He came in while we were in progress, and so at the end I chatted with him. He told me his name, and we departed. I got home, and I thought, I think his last name is the same as that other guy I witnessed to. Okay. So I said, Lord, bring him back so I can ask him, does he know this guy named Peace? So sure enough, the next week he came back. Only two times he's ever visited any services with that. Okay. He came back the next Friday. And so at the end, again, he came in while we were in session, which is not unusual for, those of us on the African continent. We're kind of used to that. And so at the end, I said to him, do you know this guy named Peace? He said, yes, he's my uncle, and we live in the same house. Oh, I said, thank you. So I got in contact with him, made a point and plan to sit down with him. We took an hour and a half, and we talked about the gospel. We talked about sin and salvation. We talked about Rastafarianism. He had started to visit a church called the 12 Apostles that I mentioned earlier. And we talked about all these ancestor worship, because that's the basis of belief for most of the people in sub-Saharan Africa. They believe the spirits of their dead ancestors bring them to God. We talked about all of this. And we showed him from the scriptures God's way. And I said to him, after an hour and a half, I said, tell me something. If you die right now, where will you go? According to the Bible, where would you go? He said, I'll go to hell. I said, is that where you want to go? He said, no. I said, are you willing to give your life away? That's essentially what you're doing when you're getting saved. You're giving your life to Jesus because he wants to cleanse you from sin and bring his righteousness. He said, I'm ready. I said, with all your heart. He said, with all my heart. And he prayed and received Christ as Savior. Wow. To seek and to save that which was lost. So we're seeking people so Jesus can save them. And he's willing if they'll open their hearts to him. So my aim in life is to reach people with the gospel. God wants your aim in life. Your ministry will be different from mine. If you're saved, God has given you a ministry. some kind of a ministry. And so he wants you to be serving him in some way. It's going to be different from what I have. God's not going to judge you by what I do, but he's asking you to serve him, to seek the lost. Whatever your job might be, or the school, or your where your house is, or whatever it is, God wants you to be seeking to reach other people with his truth. You know, it's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. I want to encourage the young people, give your life to serve the Lord. What a terrible thing. I've met some people. They get to retirement age, and they look back, and I had a guy say to me one day, I have wasted. He grew up in church. He went to church all his life, a good fundamental Bible preaching church. And he said, I have wasted my life because I didn't do what God called me to do. He said, I've tried to help in my church, but I didn't do God's will. How sad to look back on your life and say, I have wasted my life. When you serve Jesus, in whatever way he wants you to serve him, you'll never have to say, I wasted my life. Some of you here are middle-aged, some of you are older, some of you are even retired. You can still serve the Lord. He still wants you to be a witness for him. And all of us have done that. We've all missed opportunities. I know I missed some opportunities. And sometimes people miss opportunities. Oh, well, I just can never quite get it right. I sometimes miss opportunities as well. And when I see it, did you ever get to a situation where you look back and say, oh man, I had the perfect opportunity to witness and I missed it. Then what you do is say, Lord, I missed that one. Show me the next one. And he'll bring another opportunity. Don't just give up. And you say, well, it didn't come out right. But did you try? You never know what, it didn't come out right, what the Lord might, how the Lord might use that to touch someone's heart, even though it didn't seem to quite come out right. Because you were trying to seek the lost. And it didn't come out right. Guess what? You just learned how it can come out a little better the next time. Because if you never try, you're not going to get any better at it. So here's my encouragement to you. Look for opportunities. You know, sometimes people say, well, how do I start? Start with where you're at. Try it sometimes. You know, someone says, how are you? No, I'm great. I'm thankful. God's blessed me. Talk about the weather. You know, God gave us a beautiful day. Now, no one's going to get saved because you said God gave us a beautiful day. But, you know, sometimes that opens up more of a conversation. And you get to talk to people further about the Lord. I'm just saying, look, you just keep looking for those opportunities. And you're part of planting and watering the seed of God, seeking the lost, so that they can be saved. Thank you for your help in us as we reach the Zulu people. But I'm encouraging you, think about your goal for life. Don't get so focused on me and my life that you forget God's goal for your life. In the midst of everything you do, he wants you to seek the lost. Let's pray, and then Pastor will come. Father, you've been good to us. I thank you for saving us. Maybe somebody among us today has never received Jesus as Savior, and they need to be saved. I pray you encourage them today to find the salvation and forgiveness they can have in Jesus. Lord, give us strength to be a witness for you all of our lives, but especially this week, Lord. Help us to seek the lost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that message. We're going to have just a brief invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Appreciate that message. I think we'd do disservice to the Lord to not extend an invitation if God has worked in your heart this morning. So I want to just do that in two phases. Number one, perhaps you're here today. You may be part of this church. You may come regularly. You may enjoy the services. You may like preaching. You may like the atmosphere. You have friends here. But you may have never trusted Christ as your Savior. And perhaps during the message, the Holy Spirit took the word of God that was preached, and you say, you know what, it made sense. I've wanted forgiveness, but I didn't really want to change my life. I didn't understand about forgiveness and Christ's righteousness being given to me. Wow, the light shone today. And I realized that I'm not saved, and I want to be saved today. As our pianist begins to play in just a second, God's worked in your heart, and you say, you know what? What a better time to be saved than during missions conference. And during the missions conference right here, as the gospel was given, and missionaries who their ministry is sharing Christ, maybe in South Africa, but right here in Duryea on September 24th, I trusted and received the free gift of salvation by admitting that I was a sinner, turning from my sin and recognizing I could not get to heaven by any good merit or good works, putting all of my faith and dependence on Jesus Christ from what he did on the cross, and receiving him today as my Savior. If you're here today and you would like to do that, would you slip out right now? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Not ashamed. You're ready to receive Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And you say, today is the day. The Holy Spirit of God is wooing you. He's urging you. You may be a little wrestling match right now in your mind and in your heart. Your stomach may be tightening up. You may be gripping your spouse or someone beside you and say, oh, I don't know right now. But the Holy Spirit's saying, come, come. You need to be born again today. You may be religious. You may be looking back and say, well, I was raised in church. I know about God. I believe in Jesus. I pray every day. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I believe. But have you ever put your faith in Christ by calling upon him? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's something you must do by faith. You must turn from your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. You shouldn't say tomorrow, today is the day, just like Zacchaeus did. Oh, we're not going to delay, but I want to make sure if you're here today, young or old, church member or visitor, are you 100% sure? 100% sure if you died today, you would go to heaven. You have Christ's righteousness. When you stand before heaven, the Lord says, God says, why should I let you in? You're not going to say, well, because I did this or I'm not as bad. You're going to come in because he sees Christ's righteousness already applied. The blood's been applied. You're righteous before God. You're a full son or daughter. Is there anyone like that today? You're here today? Would you slip out? No one will embarrass you. We'll take you to a quiet side room. You can pray. You can pray here at the front as well. Is there anyone like that today? Anyone like that as the music plays? Second part of the invitation. You're here today. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know it. No doubt about it. I can't wait to get to heaven. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was 4. I was 8. I was 29. I was married. I was at camp. I was at Bible school. I was at church. I don't know where it was. But you say, I can look back, and that's when I trusted and received Christ. I know I'm saved. Let me ask you, as you heard today, are you seeking the lost? I like that definition our brother said. The Christian life is simply acting out and living daily Christ's righteousness. I'm to be like Christ. He came to seek and save the lost. I'm to be like him in every area, at home, at work, at play, at school, with my family. Am I doing that as a believer? Am I guilty of that? Is there anything that's keeping me from seeking the lost? Perhaps I'm saved, but I'm living in guilt. I just feel so lousy because I know I'm not doing. Maybe like he said, I've wasted my life and I just feel like I'm paralyzed. Well, can you get that right today? The altar is open. Would you come? The altar is open. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's do business with God today. Let's do business with God. Are you here today? Are you right with God? Would you come as the music continues to play? Is there anything between you and the Lord this morning? Is there anything the Holy Spirit poked and pricked your heart about, young or old? Does God have your heart? Does he have your affections? Is your number one goal in life, as we heard, is your number one aim to do the will of God? Oh God, my greatest goal and aim is the will of God. Nothing else really matters. I'm sold out to you, whether I'm 75 and retired or whether I'm 15, whether I've got a family or I'm single. Rich or poor, educated, uneducated, God, my number one aim in all that I do is to please you and live for you every day. Boy, I'll tell you what, we've got 75, 80 people in here. Praise God. If everyone in this room is living for God and that's the number one aim, this church will be transformed. Duryea will be transformed. It won't take very long. Souls will be saved. Marriages and homes will be different. Praise God. Or have our hearts grown a little bit cold? Are we more excited about the dinner right now in a few minutes? Are we more excited to catch the football game at 1 o'clock? Are we excited about the day off maybe this week? Are we excited to seek lost souls? I'll let the piano play without me speaking for 30, 40 seconds to give you an opportunity, then we'll pray. Is there anything between you and the Lord? Maybe you need to surrender. God's called you to missions. Would you come? Would you come? Father, I've given the invitation as I believe you laid on my heart. I believe Brother Don preached exactly what you wanted him to preach. Lord, we're not responsible for what a person does with the truth. We're responsible for giving it as you want us to faithfully give it. Now, Lord, each person, myself included, will stand before you. Lord, if you pricked a heart today, if you convicted someone, Lord, if you called someone to missions, called someone to preach, called someone to leave their job, their home, and Lord, they have quenched that and grieved that and said no, resisted it. Lord, they're going to stand before you. Lord, for someone here today or watching from home that you convicted them of their need of Christ, they are not saved. They know that, and yet, Lord, they resisted, they resisted, they resisted. Oh, God, they're going to stand before you. God, we know that you're a God of mercy. Would you give them one more chance, Lord? Oh, Lord, turn not away from them, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, chase them down. Let them have no rest or peace, Lord, until they yield, trusting you as a good God and a gracious God. Lord, where your will is complete joy and happiness. Oh, God, I pray each person here today will be walking in your will. I pray there be nothing between anyone today and the Savior. Lord, I pray our greatest thrill would be to serve you and to seek the lost. Oh, Lord, use those. There are many who are faithful in here and handing out gospel tracts, being a witness wherever they go. Lord, I pray that we continue to build upon that as a church, that as a church we would see that great burden to reach our communities for Christ. Oh, Lord, to share Christ, to seek them intentionally, to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to disciple them, to make them Christ followers, to go out and reach ones for them. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this missions conference. Thank you for the word that has been preached. Lord, we look forward again now to some fellowship in just a little bit, as well as our afternoon service. May you continue to work in hearts, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're a little bit ahead of schedule, so I have some exciting news. Miss Sandy here, come on with me. Many of you know Miss Sandy here, goes by Sandy or Sandra. And if you've not had a chance to meet her, she's been coming out for several weeks, maybe even a couple months now. Oftentimes here with her daughter back here, her grandchildren have been coming faithfully. And so she met with my wife and I a couple weeks back, before the rain and the floods, and we're infected with all. And I said, you know what, I've been visiting, God's laid this church in my heart, really would like to be a part of it. I appreciate her. She actually read the Constitution thoroughly and had lots of questions, so some people don't really look at those. But I have a couple things I want to check with, and she was very thorough. We were able to meet with her. She shared her testimony, shared how she's called the Lord and believer's baptism. She's been a faithful member of her church for many, many years, but God has led her there for some different reasons. To leave there. She would like to come today to be a part of IDC. So we believe God has led her to be a member here. She met with two of our deacons this morning before Sunday school, and in agreement with our church doctrinal statement, the Constitution, signed the church covenant, to just say, I believe that God wants me to be here as part of this and to serve. And so, Miss Sandy, I said we'd look at the time. I think we've got some time. If you think you can do it in 5 minutes or less, if not, we can do it in Sunday school next week. What's your preference? So you can do it in 5 minutes, all right? So I don't have a thing here to do it. Come on, you gentlemen, south, or not south, back there. Rob, bring down that microphone real quick. All right, there we go. And that way you can hear her a little bit better. And those watching live stream, she said, hey, can I share my testimony? Now, what kind of pastor would I be and say, no, all right? No. No, I don't want that here. Now, I know not everybody's comfortable, but she said, I'd like to share that. And so I'd like her this morning just to share a little bit how she came to know Christ, and then we'll conclude in prayer.
I feel honored today to be able to share with you my testimony of how I became born again. In my testimony, I hope to show how all three persons of the Godhead were involved. God the Father, the long-suffering one, Jesus Christ, the Word, the written Word, the Holy Spirit, the convicting one. I was greatly blessed to hear God's Word from a very early age. My grandfather was a pastor, so the Word of God was introduced to me as far back as I can remember. During my lifetime, I recall the Holy Spirit many times tugging at my heart, but I continue to say no. God the Father, the long-suffering one, allowed me to live to the age of 25, at which time God saw fit to take my father's life by electrocution. My father had been painting the house and came in contact with the electrical wires and died. God taking my father's life in such a swift and dramatic way gave the Holy Spirit another opportunity to tug at my heart. During the next 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit tugging was going on until I gave in prayer. I repented of my sins and turned control of my life over to serving Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. 3 weeks later, I followed the commands of God's word and believers' baptism by immersion and became a member of Calvary Baptist Church in Lansdale. During the last 48 years in serving Jesus Christ, God has been ever so gracious to me, to say the least. My desire now is to continue serving him as a member at Independent Bible Church of Duryea.
Amen. Amen. Well, we praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful that she has initiated that and was careful in praying and taking her time, not jumping into things. And we're always thrilled. We're not the only church around. We understand that. And there's other good churches that preach and teach. But she believes this is where God would have her. She's excited to come and just serve as the Lord leads. And we're thrilled to have her as a member here of IBC and excited about that. Now, normally, on a regular service, we'd have her stay at the front and we'd all come this way. But a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so there's going to be people going to come this way while we're thinking about the food. And so I'm afraid she might get lost in the shuffle. So here's what I'm going to do. All right. Are you staying for lunch?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
awesome.
Sir.
All right. I'm going to dismiss Miss Sandy along with our missionaries right now. And you can make your way down. And so you're going to get to go through the line first. And that way they can find a seat at a table. Now, you make sure when you're down there that you go by the table, see Miss Sandy, and shake her hand and say, hey, I'm so thankful. She may not know all the names yet. And say, praise the Lord. We're so thankful to have you as part of the church family, praying for you. I think that'll be the best way for her to get to know you, all right? So, Miss Sandy, you can scoot on out there, and you're welcome to go with your daughter and children and grandchildren as well. Missionary.